Welcome to Salad with a Side of Fries. I'm your host, Jen Trepik, talking wellness and weight loss for real life. We're here to clear up the myths, misinformation, bad science, and marketing to teach you how to eat and how to cheat. Are you ready? I'm having salad with a side of fries. This week, we're talking about ultra-processed food. Truth be told, I think people living in industrialized society today will see them daily. In the United States, you'd be hard-pressed to find any meal without ultra-processed food, even the ones that we're told are healthy. So let's dig into what does this even mean? Because I think often we hear the words processed food and go, yeah, you know, I know what that is. But I don't know that we really realize everything that qualifies as such. And maybe ultra-processed food is a new one for you. So even if you think you don't eat them, statistics say it is highly probable that you do. So according to the data, 57% of caloric intake in adults comes from ultra-processed foods. And I have to tell you, the outlook for kids is even more frightening. So for children, 67% of children's daily calories come from relatively empty ultra-processed foods, right? So what are they? What does it even mean for something to be ultra-processed? And scientific definitions are very long and convoluted. And the experts that I like to go to boil it down to things in this way. So here's how we can think about it. Foods that are wrapped in plastic and contain at least one ingredient you don't typically find in a traditional kitchen. If you recall, this is similar to the criteria for food that we discussed in our episode with David Greenwalt on emotional fitness. So hopefully not new, but I want to point out two things. One is that foods weren't always like this. There is a dramatic difference between the foods on our shelves today and the foods that were on grocery store shelves when our parents and grandparents were our age. And that is a function of innovation in very, I put that in air quotes, I think, because it's innovation in a way that maybe we don't always think. And the second piece is being processed doesn't inherently mean that everything is bad, right? And I'm not big, as you know, on a label of good and bad, right? I'm a fan of everyone making choices that work for them based on where they are in relation to their health goals and given their current resources and commitment level. So I think this is about information so that we can make informed choices. And along with these two sort of caveats, I want to say, you know, remember that we got here for a reason. These foods are increasingly economical. They are less expensive to the consumer, right? As we have, you know, societal challenges with poverty and food insecurity, this makes things more accessible for a lot of people. So they are less expensive to the consumer. At the same time, they also bring companies increased profit margins. And by the way, these were actually discovered as a way to use waste or byproduct from crops. And I guess, you know, that's really a story for another day, but food for thought. And then the other thing is these processed foods are also incredibly convenient, right? Ultra-processed foods are easy to carry with us. They don't go bad as quickly. They last longer. They're easier to prepare and faster to prepare. So they served a purpose in some ways, but they also come with some downside and some detriment, which we'll talk about in a second. But there's one more distinction that I think we need to make. And the other distinction is because ultra-processed lends itself to saying, then there's also something that's processed versus ultra-processed. So let's differentiate between whole foods, processed foods, and ultra-processed foods. And I think the easiest way to understand this is to take like a single thing and sort of show the different variations. So let's use milk. So milk is a whole food. To make skim milk, right, or to homogenize milk, these are sort of minimally processed foods, which these days many would say are still a whole food or close to a whole food. Then there are processed foods that are very common and humans have been eating for centuries, right? So from milk, we also get cheese and butter and yogurt. So those are processed foods from the milk, right? But minimally processed in that way. That would qualify as our first layer of processed food. Ultra processed food is basically a fake version of those processed foods. So a fake version of butter is margarine, right? It's the perfect example. Margarine is an ultra processed food. And essentially what food manufacturers have done is they use plant oils and other ingredients that are then put through a variety of chemical processes to deodorize them, to hydrogenize them, to then combine them with other colors and flavors. And we end up with something that looks and tastes like yogurt or looks and tastes like butter, but it actually isn't, right? So when I often use the phrase new to nature molecules and food-like substances, this is what I mean. So in an effort to understand the implications of these foods, which often bring a lot of conveniences, I went to some of the research. Now, oftentimes our research doesn't necessarily come from the American Medical Association, but here is what they say. And I'm quoting, consuming ultra-processed foods on a regular basis increases a person's risk of health complications, including cardiovascular disease, certain cancers, obesity, and type 2 diabetes. One doctor called the stakes dire and referenced a study that was on almost 12,000 people over 19 years. So lots of people over a long period of time. The participant showed a 31% higher mortality rate for the highest versus the lowest consumers of ultra-processed food. And again, they cited increased risk of type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and dementia. So it's a variety of disease states. And then there are also experiments that people have done showing that these foods contribute to a person's lack of satisfaction from food, impaired response to hunger and satiety hormones, right? Ghrelin and leptin. We talk about those all the time here. And by the very nature of the form and texture of UPFs, ultra-processed foods, we can eat them quicker than our hormones can even respond to the fact that we're eating to tell us that we're full. The additives in the foods have been shown to impact mental health. Some of the emulsifiers can disrupt the microbiome, and it's possible that the addictive nature is potentially connected to the flavors that we're getting in the mouth. So we talked about this with like when we talked about the digestion, you know, where does the food go is the name of the episode. So we talked about how what's in the mouth and our salivatory glands are the first step in digestion. So we get these flavors in our mouths that trigger the body to expect certain nutrients, which then don't come. And this contributes to the addictive nature because then our body sends signals of, I want the thing you told me was coming and didn't. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, so back to how you probably think you're not really eating ultra-processed foods, or maybe you're in a place where you're ready to look again at foods that you could upgrade. So let's walk through a day maybe where we're seeing these things and a little bit like we talked about in this week's episode, breakfast foods like cereal, even the ones marketed to us for heart health or weight loss, right? High in fiber, all of these things, they qualify as ultra processed foods. Your yogurt may contain modified starches and other gums that turn our yogurt from a whole food or a minimally processed food into an ultra-processed food. And while it doesn't inherently mean that they're not health-supporting, it does mean that we're getting substances that we don't realize we are. And that's it's about informed choices, right? Okay, continuing on. Maybe you're a toast for breakfast person or a sandwich for lunch person. Most breads, even the ones in your health food stores and at those, you know, healthy, expensive restaurants will use breads that have emulsifiers and dextrose and maltodextrose and all these other additives. And even your bread, by the way, that has like all the seeds and the grains and it makes them, you know, crunchy almost. They can contain a million whole grains probably. Also still has added ingredients that you either didn't know about or just ignored. And at dinner, because, you know, we have things at dinner too. It could be those frozen meals, the sauces and condiments, salad dressings we talked about on a Nutrition Nugget not too long ago. So we have all of these foods. There are these additives. And the bottom line is we have to read the labels and look for the additives. Most of the time, they are emulsifiers to keep things mixed together. So, you know, your natural peanut butter or any natural nut butter, the oil separates from the rest of that nut butter, right? An emulsifier in there, an additive in there will stop that from happening. Or if they add palm oil, it stops that from happening. And it also sort of subsidizes the volume of what's in the container at a lesser cost to the manufacturer. Some of the other things that are in there are humectants, stabilizers, artificial and natural colorings qualify as these additives. Artificial and natural flavorings qualify. Artificial and non-caloric sweeteners all turn a food into one that qualifies as ultra-processed. So if you want to know more about this, there's an incredible book that just came out called Ultra-Processed People: Why Do We All Eat Stuff That Isn't Food and Why Can't We Stop? So the author of that is Chris Van Tulliken. And one thing I love that he says is, it's not that this is food designed with evil intent or designed to deliberately harm you. It's just food that's made with absolute indifference for human health, human life, the environment, and it's not nourishment. So I think to wrap this up, a healthy skepticism when we're reading labels and when we're looking at the front of packages, flip them over, look at the ingredients in addition to the rest of the nutrition facts, and choose what works for you. These foods might be serving a real purpose for you, given where you are. And in time, maybe you want to make some choices to shift those things. But at least you know, and you can choose with intention instead of falling prey to some really incredible marketers and food scientists and food manufacturers. So that's the scoop. Ultra-processed foods are hopefully now on your radar in a different way, and maybe you'll even start to taste them differently too. As always, everybody, I'm your host, Jen Trepek. Connect with me on Instagram or all social media. I'm at Jen Trepek, JenTrepek. Website is asaladwithasideoffries.com. Pick your platform, social media, or website, send a message. I want to hear your takeaways, your ideas, your questions. This is also the easiest way to learn more about working with me as your health coach. Thanks again to Stephanie for joining me in Whole Foods for this week's episode. And thank you for joining us. One more reminder, if you are not already a member, join our membership program by going to glow.fm/saladwithasideoffries. This supports this podcast and this community, but more importantly, it truly supports your health. You'll get this week's recipes for the low-carb sandwich bread and the cinnamon pecan shortbread cookies. Well, friends, that's it for today's episode of Salad with a Side of Fries. Congratulations for making yourself and your health a priority. Thanks so much for joining us. Be sure to click subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast platform. Share us with a friend, and we'll be back next week. Always remember, you deserve it, and you are worth it. Happy healthy.